This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. This afternoon, I have Kevin with me. But before I bring Kevin in, today you guys get the true and more cerebral palsy. Because for those of you that don't know, I lost my dad in May to a heart attack, May 19th. And my stepmom kind of she surprised attacked me last night being Monday night, and said, "I am on my way to Denver, Colorado tomorrow to pick up your dad's medical records." And I'm like, okay, here we go. And then this morning, I woke up in severe pain. So, you guys get the real cerebral palsy aspects. And my second programming note is that Danielle and I are going through a transition with Ask Gwen. We're transferring it over to Libsyn off of Simplecast. But we still have this feed as we transfer over to Libsyn. And without further ado, I'm going to bring Kevin in and let Kevin take it away.
Hi, Wynn. How are you today? It's really great to hear your voice.
Well, it's wonderful to hear yours. So, Kevin, what do you do? And could you please explain to my fan base more about what you do?
Sure, I will. And again, my name's Kevin, and I know it's a tough one. The last name is Barhyte, and it's like a high bars, but it's spelled Barhydt. But before I do that, and I just want to say how sorry I am for your loss with your dad. That's really hard to bear, and I'm so grateful that you take the time to do this and to work so hard at what you're doing, because I know it's a labor of love for you. You and I have a little bit in common, and sometimes I say a little too much in common when it comes to these things. But first of all, I lost my dad. It was 10 years ago, but when I lost him, it really was a tragedy. I loved him very much, and I believe your dad, if you don't mind me saying, your dad also passed from, I think it was a heart attack, but did he have cancer also?
He got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And he got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, then they actually, University Hospital in Denver, Colorado, moved him into a rehab center where I got no monitoring whatsoever, and his body shut down, and they tried to resuscitate him for 2 hours, I've been told, and they couldn't revive him. So he got the cancer diagnosis and then passed away of a heart attack. And I also lost my mom in 2010 to a viral meningitis. She went in with a slow leaking brain aneurysm, and she passed away of viral meningitis. So basically, medical malpractice happened to both my parents, believe it or not.
That's a double loss. Even one loss is too much to bear. I know that I listened to, I think it was a podcast you did with either Sky or Dwayne, one of the more recent ones, and you had mentioned this, and I know it broke my heart to hear that. I also know that you're doing exactly what a lot of us do, which is we keep plowing forward. We keep working, and I wanted to just say that, because I think that's what you and I have a lot in common, which is our desire to really prop up others, and by, you know, helping others and by reaching out to others, that gives us the wherewithal to kind of move on and move through the grief and find the other side of some of this. So I wanted to just reach out and give you, of course, condolences, but also say we're in this together. This is so hard. My mom's 90 now, and she lives with me. We took her in 6 years ago after my dad passed, and it is my biggest fear, you know, how to face that when the inevitable happens. Dad died of cancer above and below the diaphragm. He was very sick at the end and he died very quickly. Mom is this 90-year-old Polish lady who's just trucking along, and I think she's going to be here till she's 110. But which and I keep telling her, you only got to give me 20 more years, and she gets a good laugh. But I think the key is listening to stories like yours, listening to stories like mine about these kind of things. I never would have thought it, but it helps. It helps to hear that there is strength and hope and courage, and that when it comes time for any one of us, we'll be able to hopefully bear up underneath it. But if nothing else, we'll be able to get through it, hopefully with the help of good folks. So I just wanted to say thanks for sharing all that. It's very tough stories, but we're all
Well, you
together on this.
and my dad was sick at the end too. So, and more and more people keep telling me that their parents died of cancer or got diagnosed with cancer, and so cancer has come out of the woodwork in odd ways. But focusing back on you, I want
Sure.
to know what you do, and I want to know why.
Who I am. Good question. I'll focus on one other thing that we have in common, which is Colorado. And the reason I'm saying that is because I wrote a story. I wrote my memoir. It is a written. It is fully edited, and I am speaking with agents and looking to publish soon. The reason I mentioned that is because I was adopted. I was put up for adoption when I was born, and here in New York, buddy, and I never knew my birth mother. I never knew who she was. And about in 2007, so about 12 years ago, or 2005, I started looking for her, and in 2007, I completed that search. Now, I don't want to spoil the whole story because it's in the book, but I will say that I do have two brothers and a sister, and they're in Colorado. And my one brother's in Denver, and my sister and other brother are in Colorado Springs. And my mother married and raised them in Black Forest, and I don't know if you know where that is. Black Forest, Colorado. It's near Colorado Springs.
It's near. I've probably driven through there. I've probably
Sure.
driven through there, but it is. But I exactly know where Denver. Denver's a good 4 hours away from me. I'm sitting up here as we record this in Aspen, Colorado. And the reason why I mentioned Denver is because my dad passed away in Denver, and even though he lived up here, he passed away in Denver. So, Denver to me is trauma big time.
I know. Well, the next time I get out there, and I was out there just a few months ago to visit my family and to see folks, I'm going to let you know I'm coming, and hopefully we can cross paths and have some coffee or tea.
Because
Yeah.
and I'm also, speaking of my fan base, I'm also headed hopefully out to well, not hopefully, definitely out to Podcast Movement in Dallas. So for those of you in the Dallas area, be warned now that Wynn is coming out, and you finally get to put a face to the name
That is
of Ask
fantastic.
Wynn. And so you wrote a book, you wrote your memoir, and why are you considering yourself publishing the traditional publishing route versus the self-publishing route?
I've met with some agents, and I know some folks in the publishing business, and I believe it has merit to be published in the traditional vein. I'm not married to that idea because I'm strongly behind the self-marketing. And as you know, I have a YouTube channel, and I've got a strong presence on Twitter, and I do feel like that's one of the more important things that I could learn from you, and that I'm excited about because I think the activity that I'm doing in the YouTube channel can easily translate to a podcast. I
Oh,
keep
yes, it's good.
I you're
Oh,
right?
yes, it's good. You just sold me right there. You just
I know.
sold me
And
right there.
And I think we know that it can and it could. I think it will and it would. And I think we're getting there. I do have the idea of building a body of work on the YouTube channel first so that I will have some material to work with, and then introducing maybe the aspects of what you're doing, which would be some of them would be me speaking through some of the recordings that I've done already, but some of them would also be interviews and the more classically the way you interview people. And I think this is wonderful the way you bring people on. I like that you focus very strongly on disability and your own experiences, but I also love how you broaden it very quickly to the struggles that each one of us have had in life. Mine is threefold, and that's what I'm really bringing to the table and moving forward with. And even if I do, say, go the traditional route, I'm still going to be continuing. Even if the book is published traditionally, I'm still going to continue my efforts, which will be even outside of the book. And the YouTube channel is a piece of that, I think. But I think that's my better, lack of a better word, that's my offering, my gift to the world. I don't expect anything more than that, than to be able to give through that kind of sharing, the way you do here, which is wonderful. I also work in education. I've worked in education for many years now, and I've got a very, I think 14, 15 years in education and over 20 some odd years in technology and education. And what I'm trying to really look at is how I can combine those pieces to work with online learning, to work with sharing this with these kind of topics that I'm working through here, which would be number one would be adoption and abandonment issues. Number two is addiction, alcoholism recovery, and number three is the child sexual abuse and recovery from there. Those are really the three silos that I focus on. And bringing that to the masses, bringing that to the public through YouTube and through other avenues, but also bringing this hopefully into schools and into institutions, either in person and or through online learning. And I think there's a whole lot of work that I'd like to do with other authors, other adoption authors that have focused on that, others that have focused on the addiction or the child sexual abuse. And that's really my goal. Those are the pieces that I'm putting together. And I think that if I do the traditional publishing, that'll be a very strong statement. You're right, though. I think what I'm hearing from you, and I believe it's a really strong goal of mine, whether it's traditional publishing or whether it's a self-publishing, I'm going to be behind it, in front of it, and around it 100%.
Yeah.
There's no one that's going to take this in any direction
You
without
have to
me.
be,
And I'm,
even if you get to the big five, like let's so HarperCollins and add an example. They expect you to market the book. They will do more people power at what I like to call people power at the beginning, but then the people power from HarperCollins will move on to the next book. So yeah, you left up in the quick without a paddle if you don't.
you got that. That's exactly the way I look at it too. This past year, I attended one of the writers' conferences in Boston. It was the Harvard Writers Conference, and it was really powerful. And there was a lot of folks that I met there. But that was really the message, just what you just said. You are expected as an author, as a writer, to be a part of all this. And I'm excited by it. It's something that I'm good at. It's something I can see you're very good at. There's a passion in it. Not everyone is good at it, but you don't even have to be good at it. You just have to do it.
Yeah, you just have to do it. And so, Kevin, what is your biggest accomplishment in business and in life?
Good question. I knew that you were going to ask me the biggest accomplishment, and the one in business would, I think, be, even though it's not published yet, I have to say this is really my biggest accomplishment, to have completed this manuscript, to have it in written form and to have it completed, to writing those last two words, the end, and finally having it fully professionally edited. I feel very strongly like this is probably my biggest professional accomplishment. I think that to just wrap that up neatly in a bow so that everyone who's listening understands, when I set out to write this, it was after many people had heard my story. I had told it for years, the adoption story, the addiction story, the recovery story, and people said, "Kevin, you've got to write this." And I kept piecing it together. But when about 2.5 years ago, when I finally pulled the trigger and I said, I'm going to write this, I had to line myself up with the difference between disappointment and regret. I knew that there'd be a lot of disappointments. This might never get out there. It might never get published. It might never have even gotten finished or halfway written. But I had to really line it up and be honest with myself. I knew there was one thing that I would regret, one thing more than anything else, and that's if I didn't try, if I didn't put everything that I had into this. And so this accomplishment is truly, you know, it's my work of art. It's a work of literature. It's a work of passion. But it's also, I think, probably my biggest professional accomplishment. I hope that makes sense to you.
That makes complete sense. That makes complete sense. And what if you had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why?
I think I already have. His name is Richard, and I wouldn't give you his last name, but he's my sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I use that word, that phrase, AA, not as a representative trying to expose the world to it, but as someone who's been a member for over 33 years. He's my sponsor. He's someone who's taken me through thick and thin. And I think that kind of an education is probably more critical than the education that I've pursued from a higher education aspect. I was a high school dropout. I dropped out in 10th grade. I've had many great teachers, and they've inspired me. I got my associate's degree, and I got my bachelor's degree, and just a few years ago, I got my master's in education, and this is all a miracle. But I think the real benefit for me has been to learn from others who have walked the path before me.
Now,
you asked earlier. Sorry.
Go ahead, and then I'll jump in.
Well, yep, sure. You asked me for a professional and a personal accomplishment, and I think I just wanted to dovetail that last statement that I made into that's my greatest personal accomplishment is my sobriety.
So I think, Kevin, if you like podcast, there's a wonderful podcast by John S. I think his name is, because he's also Alcoholics Anonymous. And he does a podcast called Sober Speaks, where he brings people on about Alcoholics Anonymous.
I did not know that. I had not heard of that. Sober Speaks, John
Sober
F.
Sober Speaks,
I wrote it.
John S., I believe. And he is a wonderful person. I have actually had him on Ask When, you guys, to talk about Sober Speaks. And you guys, believe it or not, I gave up the wine after 9, yeah, because I started drinking when I became 18. Now I'm 32 and I finally gave up the ghost cold turkey. And
good for
so,
you.
I finally gave up the ghost cold turkey. And people are amazed that I did, and I didn't do it via Alcoholics Anonymous. I did it for myself, and I feel great. Now I'm about to go on a tougher journey of giving up caffeine. Caffeine.
Beautiful, that's beautiful.
That's not going to be the easiest.
No, it's inspiring, and I think that in many ways, you and I and many people have a lot of this in common. I quit drugs and alcohol on January 1st, 1986, and you know, I've been able to stay away since then. But I also had a similar path, which was about a year into my sobriety and a year into my recovery there. I realized that caffeine, I was drinking too much coffee. I haven't had a cup of regular coffee. I only drink decaf. I haven't had a cup of regular coffee for 32 years. It is helpful to make these kind of changes in our lives.
Yeah. Yes. Well, starting small, you guys, I'm slowly but surely weaning myself off caffeine, because the way I feel today is not good, and the way I'm dealing with it is better than I feel, and I have swelling of my joints as we do this interview, and that's why I got up and moved. And so, because of my cerebral palsy, I had to make the decision, do I want to feel the swelling of my joints, or do I want to give up the ghost on coffee? And I decided to give up the ghost on coffee, starting, I'm slowly weaning myself off of it, starting tomorrow morning. And so I'll keep you guys updated on that. And so, Kevin, as we wrap this interview up, do you have any questions for me?
Well, you know, I am excited that you've given up the caffeine, and I did want to mention the swelling of the joints. I don't have cerebral palsy. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and that's something that you probably are aware of causes, it's an autoimmune disorder, and that causes the swelling and the joint pain, and that's really painful for me too. I've had to make changes in my life regarding things that are anti-inflammatory in nature, and it's changed my diet, and it's changed my habits, and it's changed my health consciousness. Have you found that you've become more adept at being capable of making these kind of changes, these kind of decisions, that I'm going to choose to do something that's going to benefit me, even if it's hard? How has that manifested in your life, making those kind of changes, like giving up caffeine or making a change that you know is going to have to give something up, even though it may not be easy?
Well, I believe that, and that's why I choose to do it. And I believe that I, not to throw my stepsister under the bus, I love Adelie, but her first reaction to my dad's cancer diagnosis after telling me was, do you want a glass of wine? And I said yes, because I am me. I was such in a state of shock that I needed something to take my shock away and relax my muscles. But now looking back on it, I should have put my foot down in that hotel room and said no.
When do you practice? Because I've listened to a lot of the podcast episodes, and I've gathered some idea of your lifestyle. Do you practice mindfulness, meditation, things like that?
I try, and I've failed at it. And maybe after I give up the caffeine ghost, I will get into meditation, because I have meditation apps on my phone.
Sure. That's really kind of been helpful for me, and it's a part of my recovery. It's a part of my recovery story. It wasn't easy, and it's certainly not something that manifested overnight. It's manifested really only in the past couple of years the most strongly. And I guess in many ways, I feel like certain things, maybe for you, you can identify with this. Once I get grounded in what I know not only is good for me, but I want, those things become non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And that's okay if they're negotiable. That's okay. Lots of things are negotiable. Do I have pretzels or do I have some carrot sticks? Do I have caffeine or do I have a glass of water? Everything's negotiable. But then at some point, I seem to have turned the corner with the meditation in the morning, mindfulness practice. And it's just this afternoon, I knew I was talking to you. I took a walk outside on our campus here at work, and I spent 10 minutes doing what's called a walking meditation, which is you slow down and take every step very intentionally, and your eyes are open, and it's really beautiful, but it just powers me up for something like our talk. And I can't see it until now. In other words, I know that I'm benefiting from that walk now. But that's the whole key, is knowing that I may even feel awkward when I'm doing a meditation or something like that. But I know later it really changes almost my wiring, my metabolism changes, my mental outlook changes, my spiritual, my physical, my emotional, everything seems to slowly rewire, and it's been very helpful. Just a thought. I was curious if you did it, because I know you do a lot of things that are self-care and that you're very healthy.
Yeah, I do a lot of things that are self-care, and self-care costs a lot. And so...
Yes.
And luckily, I am getting a trust fund, and that should go into effect.
Thank goodness.
And that should go into effect. Sooner rather than later, I'm not allowed to talk about it yet, but I will talk about it on my other show, A Diary of a Fashionista, and ask when we're doing a double episode on one feed. And so you guys are going to be shocked what I went through since June. And I'll leave it at that. But self-care is the way Kevin and I are doing it is expensive. Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, that's expensive. So if you can afford to do it, do it. But if you can't, do it slowly like I'm doing. And then once I get all my finances together, I'll be in good shape. I'll be in better shape than I was. But right now, I'm doing it slowly, you guys. And I am taking the aches and pains away from cerebral palsy. And I'll keep you guys updated. But Kevin, do you have any more questions for me as we tie this interview up?
Well, I'm really excited that some news is coming. I'm glad that you keep dropping hints. I know in the other podcasts I listened to, there were some hints. I was hoping you might launch it today and I could be on the call when you did, but that's fine. I am excited for the news and I'm excited for some financial independence on your side. I will say this. I've thought about asking you this question, and I will now, even though I wasn't sure. I don't need to do these things. I don't need to publish this book. I don't need to do the YouTube channel. I don't need to do a lot of the things I'm doing. I'm doing it because I know it's what I need to do, what I have to do, what I want to do. I feel like this is important, and it's of substance. It's feeding other people, and it's also, I think, helping other people. So my question to you is this. I can see that we're like-minded in many ways, especially that. This is, we want to carry a message and we want to be a part of other people's lives and have them be a part of ours. If you had all the money in the world, if you had everything you needed, if you had, you could do whatever you want, would you still be doing this?
I'm in the process of quitting my day job in education. My day job in play is very, very sad that I'm leaving to be a full-time content creator. And so, yes, to answer your question, yes, I would still be doing what I'm doing today, even though I'm penniless. And once I hit the financial jackpot, I will still be doing what I'm doing even more so. It will become my full-time job now.
I think it's a calling, and I think you're right. And the podcasts I've listened to and the way that, and this is what I'll say, and it's not a question, it's more of a statement, and I'm sure that a lot of people would agree who have either been on this podcast or who have interacted with you or been just viewers and listeners. Everything that you're doing just incrementally and seemingly very quickly is ramping up in a professional and a high quality manner. And I've been very impressed. That's why I was excited when we first connected with each other, and your whole process, how you reached out, how the interview process goes. It's just compounding and going to become something that I don't think any of us can see, even you. And so I'm really excited for your future.
Well, I'm actually starting back up school in journalism school in January. I'm taking a semester off because I had to. I was in school and then the financial hardship got to me. And I'll be honest, I had to put on the exit form. My dad died. And they made me click, why are you leaving? And I said, financial hardship, because my dad died. And that was the hardest thing. And I was going to the Academy of Arts. The Academy of Arts is the coolest program ever. It's the most expensive school on the planet. But now I'm going to a strictly journalism school named Ashford University out in San Diego. And journalism is my strong point. I've been told that. And so I love the journalism field, and I'm deep diving into it as of next year, 2020, and we'll just continue.
That's fantastic. I'm really excited. Again, I think that my YouTube channel will morph. I think I will continue on the YouTube channel, and I think I'll have a podcast. And if I'm doing an interview, whether it be on the podcast and or on the YouTube channel, I hope you'll consider being a guest in the future.
I will consider being a guest because the thing with YouTube, and I will tell you this, Kevin, is because you have to leave your computer on or your phone on. You can't look at YouTube while you're driving, and you can't close it and move on to something else. With a podcast, you can close it and move on to something else, and it will still play. And with these Amazon smart speakers now, or the Google ones, they can play podcasts too. So let's integrate technology in the classroom, and let's start a podcast revolution of all these teachers and retired educators doing what we do to educate the next generation. And I'll leave it at that.
I 100% agree. My actual specialty is in instructional design and technology. So I'm with you 100% in that world. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And I thank you guys for supporting the podcast and continuing to download it. As I said, we're going through a transition from Simplecast to Libsyn, and we'll let you guys know when that transition is completely over with the 301 redirect. And for those of you who just said I spoke French, that is the special term to find it again in iTunes. And just say Libsyn's now doing it instead of Simplecast. So I'm really excited about that. And thanks, you guys, for the continued support.
Wynn, thanks so much. Do you mind if I tell everyone where they can find me online?
No, not at all.
That'd be wonderful. Folks, the two places I'd love to meet you is on YouTube and Twitter. Again, my name is Kevin, and the last name is Barhyte, Barhyte. Kevin Barhyte, I'm the only one there. Please check me out on YouTube. Please find me on Twitter. That's where I engage the most, and I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone there. Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you. Thanks to you guys.
Take care.